What's really driving this devaluation seems to be the fact that because China's currency has been pegged to the dollar, the American economy has been strengthening, the dollar has been rising at the same time as China's been slowing. And so I think there may be a lot more to come, and it may all escalate into a much bigger economic story over the next few weeks and months.
Isabella Kaminska from the Financial Times, you obviously have been following this story closely. It certainly shows that switch to more reliance on consumers in China rather than exports hasn't really happened to the extent that perhaps it needs to.
Certainly, rebalancing is still what everyone is focused on. But increasingly, we're looking at what you would call the capital account and to what degree Chinese residents, instead of, say, purchasing goods and output, are choosing to, say, invest abroad and invest in external goods as well, or consume outright. So this is possibly much more interesting now than anything else. To what degree are we experiencing capital outflows out of China? And is that necessarily a bad thing? Because some say that in many ways, the Chinese account has to be diversified. The state shouldn't be holding all of those investment decisions. And it has been moving over a long while now to liberalize the sort of capital account already. And I think from the global perspective, that's not necessarily a bad thing, because we have a sort of symbiosis with China. Nobody wants a hard landing in China. That would be good for nobody. So it's really something to focus on.
Now on to another story that has really grabbed interest, grabbed headlines around the world, about these Ukrainian hackers who gained access to corporate America's press releases, a simple but very audacious plan. Do you think, Matthew, that they targeted corporate America's press releases rather than financial firms themselves because perhaps the security wasn't quite so tight at some of these major firms?
Well, yes, they seem to have also targeted the newswire companies as well, media companies, who possibly haven't invested as much as they should have done in making their information secure. So, you know, what's been, it's a very neat scam, you know, get the press releases ahead of their release and then trade on the information with a pretty high certainty that you're going to make money out of it.
Isabella, do you think people still aren't really understanding just how secure their own personal information, their own corporate information has to be? People don't expect their own computer systems to be hacked.
Well, precisely. And I think this is going to be a valuable lesson for corporate America, but also for all of us. I mean, in the last few years, we've all heard the stories about personal data being hacked and abused by malevolent forces. So, in fact, I'm pretty surprised that this stock market related connection hasn't come out earlier, because usually the incentive is always where you can make money, and that would have been the obvious one. So who knows what leaks and hacks have happened, but that we're not even aware of.
Now, finally, we're going to be speaking about Kim Kardashian on this programme. Quite a rare occurrence. We're not interested in her private life. It's more the fact that she's been criticised by the Food and Drug Administration for promoting a morning sickness pill without disclosure. She'd been paid to advertise the product. Matthew, what's your take on this?
Well, I mean, firstly, it shows you how much of a business phenomena the Kardashians are, and Kim Kardashian in particular. I mean, she really has the ability to influence a huge number of consumers, many of them young and probably not terribly bright, which is where you then play into this issue of when a celebrity brand is promoting something like handbags or perfume, probably no one loses. I mean, it's just, you know, a different marketing channel. But when you start promoting drugs that are regulated and, as the FDA points out, do have potential side effects, you can't really put the 5 pages of boilerplate that come with most of these regulated products into 140 characters in a tweet.
Absolutely. That's the point, isn't it, Isabella? With the rise of social media used by many celebrities and everybody, you can't get across all of that information, can you?
Precisely. And also, it's a grey area. I think, you know, as a long-standing Twitter user myself, I think this actually demonstrates to what degree the commercialization of Twitter doesn't necessarily work well with the original objectives and why people were using it in the first place.
Matthew Bishop, there's been the rise of vloggers as well. A lot of the time, they're just endorsing certain products.
Well, that's right. And I think, you know, you're gradually seeing some of the more visible promoters of products and taste-setting people on Twitter and other social media actually being scrutinised a lot more carefully and you know, it can create brands, but it can destroy them if people start to try and take it for granted that they're being followed. And, you know, I actually think what will happen as a result of this Kim Kardashian thing is that a lot of celebrities will think twice before endorsing certain types of products, and that's probably a good thing. Although, frankly, in a world where people would take Kim Kardashian's advice on whether or not to use a dangerous drug, you can't protect everyone from that kind of stupidity.